Strives with Have Thine Own Way. As I shared with you all yesterday, I love that hymn. And thank you. And worship leader over there. It's a small world. Really? Really? Is that a short joke? What do you all think? Yeah, that was good. See, well, I'm thinking about this because it's Labor Day weekend, and some of you know I used to work Ocean Rescue, Lake Worth Ocean Rescue, when I had to have a second job. And I'm remembering I was sitting at the North Tower, and the captain was in the Middle Tower. And the captain has the bullhorn, all right? He can bark out whatever he wants to bark out. And so we're in the towers, and all of a sudden he gets on the bullhorn, and across the entire beach, yells up to me at the North Tower and says, "Hey, Don, you're old. What did they do before mirrors?" Really? Really, Ricky? Really? Because now everybody's looking. Thank you. Thank you so much. I share that story because I want to share some thoughts reflecting. Oh, yes, reflecting about our words and actions. And as I was reflecting on that, I wish the sermon title had been different. I would love for the sermon title to have been Walking the Walk of Our Talk. Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with that. You see, you may have noticed I got a haircut. See, I got a number of them cut. All right, I was getting kind of shabby there. All right, time for a haircut. Been trying to get an appointment. Took a long time to get an appointment. But you know what? If you want the best, sometimes you have to wait. And it's worth the wait. All right, it's worth the wait if you want the best. That was serious. I wasn't joking. Oh, they don't know who. Well, one thing I've noticed is that in beauty shops and barber shops, there are a lot of mirrors. And I've also noticed that sometimes you can see gospel words and gospel actions reflected in those mirrors. There was a barber, Cecil Orr. And he was given a 3-year-old boy his very first real haircut. There was a lot of drama. A boy with the lip trembling, crocodile tears swimming in his eyes, mom and dad, tears in their eyes, they're no help. But Cecil just starts talking to the boy. And he says, "I bet you are a fine baseball player. I bet you are an extraordinarily fine baseball player. I bet you can hit that ball a mile, my man. You are probably just absolutely one of the best baseball players ever." And all of a sudden, that little boy, instead of hearing the buzz of the clippers, began to hear the words of Cecil. And all of a sudden, he said, "Charlie, you've got to be a great baseball player." And instead of seeing scissors, that little boy saw Charlie, the baseball player. And Cecil kept calling him Charlie all the way through the haircut, even though his parents had always called him Charles. But for that day, with Cecil, that little boy, looking in the mirror, saw Charlie, the fantastic baseball player who could hit the ball a mile. What a gift to be able to bring comfort. Simple words, simple actions, simple kindness could be powerful. Martha Stern talks about before she became an Episcopal priest. Martha says she has difficult hair. Some of you know what that's like to have difficult hair. That means that her hair is either flizzy or flat, depending upon either the weather or her mood. All right? And because she has difficult hair, she came to appreciate the fortitude and kindness of people who cut hair. They stand with you and look in the mirror through thick and thin. Yes? They help us navigate what we see. They are, therefore, good people. And Martha came to see Grady. And Grady, when she would go in through the doors, Grady in mock terror would say, "Emergency! Emergency!" That was the kind of relationship that they had with each other. But on this particular day, she goes into Grady's shop and she's in no mood for kidding around. Things aren't going well for Martha in her life at this point. She's been involved in a ministry in Atlanta, a jobless type of ministry, and she's been doing it very poorly and very naively, and it's not meeting with the kind of success that she would like. She grew up middle class, comfortable, and now she's dealing with people who are going through the daily pain and grind of poverty, and it's wearing her down. In addition to that, she has just discovered that a lovely young woman that she's been trying to help and helped her find a crummy little job. She just found out that this woman has been leaving her 5-year-old child home alone because she couldn't find childcare and she didn't want to disappoint Martha. And you can imagine how Martha felt about that. So Martha comes into the shop and she doesn't tell Grady about all of that. Instead, she tells Grady, "Grady, I either need a totally new haircut or a totally new me. And I don't care which." She sat down in Grady's chair. Grady spun the chair around. Martha's back is to the mirror. And Grady cut off all of her hairs. You know, kind of like those monk. He didn't shave it, but he took it down. And Martha's thinking, "Oh, Lord, what the heck is he doing? Took off all of her hair." Turned the chair around. And Martha saw herself. And Grady said, "Martha, you don't need a new you. You just need to be you. And God knows that will be enough."
Amen.
You know what? Martha said, "You know what? He was right. He was right. My hair grew back and I grew up." After 5 years, Martha had gone on to seminary. Grady had gotten sick and died of AIDS. And his was the first funeral she officiated at as a priest. And she says, "And I have never forgotten him or the blessing that he was to me. And the blessing he was to everyone who walked into his shop." What a wonderfully marvelous gift to be able to affirm someone, not by pretending that everything is going to be okay, but by helping them to see what is really there, even if it's underneath difficult hair. And then there's Tara. Tara in Jackson, Mississippi in the 60s. Cuts hair all week long. And then her and her husband, both of them white, play the piano and sing in a black gospel choir in the church. In Jackson, Mississippi in the 60s. Involved in an African-American church, involved in that ministry, and they had a ball. All through the week, Tara would be cutting hair, and she would tell her customers as they're looking in the mirror. She would tell them about her church and their ministries and all the things that they were doing. And those customers came to see themselves and Tara and Mississippi churches in a new light. That was Tara. That was Tara. Mary was one of Tara's customers. And Mary was sharing with Tara that she was concerned about her husband, Jim. Jim had recently retired, and he was depressed, and he was down. And one of his secret dreams had been to be a country music songwriter. And Tara said, you bring Jim in with you next time. And so Mary brought Jim in, and she said, now, Jim, I want you to write down all the words to that song, and I want you to hum them to me. And then Tara and her husband recorded it. Meet me at the mailbox, Molly. That was the title of the song. Meet me at the mailbox, Molly. And oh boy, did he ever get a kick out of that. Long after Jim died, Mary developed Alzheimer's. And in her anger and in her confusion, she became more and more isolated. Except for Tara. Tara refused to let the disease become a barrier between her and Mary and their relationship. And so she would continue to visit with Mary, continue to talk with Mary, get Mary to laugh and share laughter with Mary, continue to stay with Mary. And Tara would continually, just intravenously almost, feed Mary love and good news. There was not a medical intervention on Mary, but there was a Tara intervention almost on a reliable basis. And on a cold January night, Mary got real sick real quick. And the caregiver called the kids, and the kids were all trying to fly in to get there in time, but none of them could get there in time. But the caregiver also called Tara, and guess what? Tara and God and the good news was there with Mary. And Tara prayed with Mary and shared the gospel again with Mary. And Tara and the caregiver and the hospice nurse sang Amazing Grace together. And when Mary breathed her last breath, there in death, she was surrounded by love and God and good news. So that her very last breath was also her very first breath and a place prepared to receive her. Isn't that something? You know, the church could do worse than be an inner beauty barbershop. A place where love is shared, truth is told. And the way we become who we are is the work of the community. Regular mirrors are incredibly unhelpful. We can be like narcissists and get so focused on it that we only see ourselves. In the writing, reading from James, we hear about someone, we can be like that, rushes in and forgets immediately. We forget sometimes not only what we look like, we forget who we are. I don't know what they did before mirrors, but I do know what I see when I look at you. I see compassion. I see creativity. I see beauty. I see kindness. I see wisdom. I see humor. I see loyalty. I see generosity. I see abundance. When I look at you, I see love, gentleness, self-control. When I look at you, I see God's beloved children being asked to walk the walk of our talk. And you do. God bless each and every one of you. You do. Each and every day, your life reflects gospel words and actions. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.